This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Delegates and members attending the 103rd Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting capped a frustrating year with some good news. U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping agreed to a ceasefire in their escalating trade war. Trump agreed not to raise tariffs further while trade negotiations continue, while Xi agreed to purchase more U.S. agricultural, energy, and other products from the U.S. But the armistice wasn't the only highlight for the more than 1,820 members, staff, and affiliates who attended the meeting. In addition to the opportunity to listen to keynote speaker Captain Mark Kelly and receive county and young leader awards, members also enjoyed a visit from U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue and set policy for the coming year. Perdue, who was appointed Secretary of Agriculture in 2017, encouraged Illinois Farm Bureau members to work with congressional leaders to urge them to ratify the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement and pass the 2018 Farm Bill. Voting delegates for the meeting, totaling 343, also debated and decided on policy for the coming year. While a full range of topics were discussed, issues including the motor fuel tax, recreational marijuana, and school security occupied the majority of the delegates' time. According to Mark Gebhardts, Executive Director of the Governmental Affairs and Commodities Division of Illinois Farm Bureau, there was a submittal that the organization should not have an opposed position to recreational marijuana. That was debated quite a bit by the delegate body, and at the end of the day, what was put in place for our policy book is that we would maintain an opposed position to recreational cannabis. In the event that it is legalized as we move forward with this next legislative session, then the delegate body wants to make sure that it is regulated and taxed accordingly. Delegates also discussed policy which provided support for the medicinal marijuana industry, which is currently being reviewed in a pilot program in Illinois. Gebhardts said another issue as our state continues to try to get a handle on its fiscal situation is the motor fuel tax. Our motor fuel tax here in Illinois hasn't been updated in about 28 years. Our policy before the delegates amended it Monday was that we would not exceed a 10-cent increase in motor fuel tax. Delegates changed the policy to allow the organization to support a moderate increase in the motor fuel tax, giving us some leeway to work with the new administration as they look at amending this tax. Delegates also spent time discussing school safety and security, an issue which may not traditionally be considered a Farm Bureau topic. Delegates crafted policy to underscore the importance of school security, but didn't go so far as to support arming teachers. Delegates also passed a sense of the delegate body resolution supporting a solution to ongoing trade disputes. To finish up the day, delegates confirmed the election of one new member to the Illinois Farm Bureau Board of Directors and 8 incumbent directors. Ken Cripe of Vandalia, Illinois, in Fayette County, will serve a 2-year term representing members of District 14, which covers Clay, Effingham, Fayette, Marion, and Montgomery counties. The Bureau of Economic Analysis released its second report on gross domestic product growth for the third quarter of 2018, confirming a preliminary release in October that indicated the economy grew at a real rate of 3.5% from July through the end of September. This marks 36 consecutive quarters of positive GDP growth, which began in the fourth quarter of 2009. Be clear that this is a look-back report with the more complete data allowing the equivalent of a further review in football. The report substantiates how we thought the economy was behaving in the third quarter of this year, but tells us nothing really about how the economy is performing now or how it will perform in the months and year ahead. Friday's signing of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement continues the progress American farmers and ranchers have made since the North American Free Trade Agreement took effect in 1994 AFBF President Zippy Duvall said in a statement. Agricultural exports to Canada and Mexico increased from $8.9 billion to $39 billion under NAFTA. That boost provided important markets for farmers and ranchers whose productivity has only grown since the agreement was signed. USMCA keeps all those gains and adds improvements in poultry, eggs, dairy, and wine. In every way, this new agreement is just as good, if not better than, the one that came before. New legislation introduced by House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady of Texas would extend tax incentives for biodiesel and short-line railroads, two priorities for AFBF. Pat Wolf, Senior Director of Congressional Relations at AFBF, explained in a recent interview that the bill would renew a biodiesel tax credit that expired at the end of last year. Wolf said that expiration was significant because it inserted uncertainty into the biodiesel industry. Certainty about whether or not that tax credit would continue is needed so that the industries that produce biodiesel can make investment decisions. December is designated National Fruitcake Month and National Eggnog Month. Special food days celebrated this month include Cookie Day on December 4th, Maple Syrup Day on December 17th, Date Nut Bread Day on December 22nd, and Bacon Day on December 30th. The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018 expanded eligibility for Title I farm programs to cotton producers by designating cottonseed, in other words, a combination of cotton, lint, and cottonseed, a covered commodity beginning with the 2018-19 marketing year. Cotton producers with generic base acres have until December 7th to enroll in either the Price Loss Coverage Program or the Agriculture Risk Coverage County Option Program. PLC provides price-based safety net support that is not influenced by crop yields. ARC-CO is based on county average revenue and can provide risk management support to growers who have experienced below average crop yields and revenue in 2018-19. Tucked between central Washington's Cascade Mountains and the Columbia River lies Mike and April Clayton's Orchard. Each year, the Claytons and their two young children manage 80 acres of apples and 65 acres of cherries. They grow thousands of pounds of fruit that ends up in grocery stores as fresh and preserved foods. But what happens to the fruit they can't sell or donate? After each harvest, the Claytons invite their friends and neighbors out to the orchard to glean what's left and celebrate the end of the growing season with cider parties. They enjoy sharing the fruits of their labors and ensuring the nutritious and fresh fruit they grow doesn't go to waste. The Claytons aren't the only ones who use gleaning to fight food waste. More and more farmers and organizations are working together using this simple practice to turn potential waste into nutritious rewards. Secretary Sonny Perdue's recent appointment of Matt Lohr to lead USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service is welcome news for farmers and ranchers we serve, said AFBF President Zippy Duvall in a statement issued Tuesday. As the fifth-generation farmer and Farm Bureau member, Lohr understands the importance of land and natural resources to agriculture. He knows how hard our members work to leave those assets in better shape for the next generation. Farm Bureau is especially proud of the selection of Matt for his position because he is a product of our leadership development programs. We know just how capable and committed he is. We congratulate the new chief on his appointment and look forward to working with him and his team. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.